And I'd like you to just, for a moment, close your eyes and think about what you believe your reputation to be. Close your eyes. Imagine, what is your reputation? Now think, what do you want that reputation to be? What do you want it to be? In this book on the power of reputation, Chris, and I will not try to say his last name, writes a powerful book, a powerful essay on the reputation. And he says, reputation is earned through the demonstration of a positive personal character. Reputation is earned through the demonstration of a positive personal character. The most powerful way to build a successful career, and he's talking about business and economics, the most powerful way to build a successful career is through the strength of your personal character. This is at the core of all you do and all you say. And he goes on to say, it's not enough for you to be able to hang on your door a sign with your label of your position of who you are. And he says, it's not enough to be beautiful. It's not enough to be handsome. It's not enough to be strong and healthy. It's not enough to be intelligent. What you need in order to be successful is a good reputation. And if you have a good reputation in the eyes of God, you will have a good reputation with the people around you. He says in his text, and I'm going to read this, three critical factors that determine a reputation. And I have just the outline here. Number one, character is who we are and what we value. That's character. Number two, communication is how we share our thoughts and values. So how we share our thoughts and values. Engage and learn from others, and reach out to help in a way we can. Okay, so communication has a lot to do with our character, our thoughts, our values, how we engage with others, how we learn from others, not how we teach others, but how we learn from others, and how we reach out. Character followed by communication leads to the third point, trust, which engages, which generates the support and allegiance that lead to a positive reputation. Trust is what leads to a positive reputation. Trust is the direct result of who we actually are and how we actually behave. That's the reality of who we are. If people trust us, we are projecting a trustworthy character. This connection from character to communication to trust to reputation is the path to follow in developing a positive reputation for yourself. It's very powerful. Socrates says, regard your name as the richest jewel you can possibly be possessed of. The way to gain a reputation is to endeavor to be what you desire to appear. Well, that's really kind of obvious. That's what we hope. But for most of us, this is a huge struggle. We want to be something, and we put out there the atmosphere, we project the personality that we want others to believe we are, whether or not we are really that person. But Socrates says, regard your name as the richest jewel you can possibly be possessed of. The way to gain a good reputation is to endeavor to be what you desire to appear. Thomas Jefferson says, honesty is the first chapter. It's the first chapter in the book of wisdom, honesty. We have a common thread that goes through all of these secular authors, and that is that at the top of the list is honesty. And that's rather remarkable. Honesty. Think about yourself. I want you now to be real with yourself. Are you an honest person? Are you an honest person? Do you have issues with lying or cheating or saying falsehoods, misrepresenting each other? What is your character in relationship to honesty? That is the core of who you are. Honesty is number one in the book of your reputation. The awesome thing is, even if you have a struggle with honesty, even if you have a struggle with being willing to accept the fact that you have a problem in that area, God is more than able to help you. And on this point, I would say that I would strongly encourage you to help each other, because honesty is driven by a need for acceptance. Honesty is driven by a need for acceptance. If you can't put out there a good front to yourself, you're going to try to cut corners. So there's a reason for dishonesty. It doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's not like, oh, today I'm going to cheat, not a problem. No, it comes from a need inside of you. The problem is not dishonesty. The problem is something deeper. And for those of you who are struggling to keep, you know, to keep yourself from cheating, you want to stop. Find somebody else that you know in the seminary, and there are plenty to choose from. Find someone else who is also cheating and pray. I was wondering, you know, are you guys listening? Get together and say, look, I've got this problem. I know you have the problem too, and you know that I have the problem. Let's, on our knees, surrender this to God and find out what we need. What is it that is lacking in our personal selves? What broken part of us is driving us to this behavior? So I'm serious. Look out for each other. Look for those who have a similar problem that you have, because you're not alone. And if you want, with the help of God, to overcome this, you can. There's nothing that God can't help you overcome. This was made by another secular person, this statement. I always try to think about the kind of values I am projecting. Keeping my word is key to being trusted. Behaving with integrity is vital. Never cutting corners on honesty is at the top of the list. And being humble. There is so much we don't know. And for those of you who don't have a problem with cheating, you just might have a problem with arrogance. I don't cheat. Okay, so I failed, but I didn't cheat. Okay, but look at you guys. There is a need. When you are successful, you are a good student, you do well, you know what? You actually have a greater chance of having a problem of arrogance and pride that the cheater is not going to have. Everyone has their own thing to deal with. And honestly, success is a very dangerous thing. And that tests you to the core. Are you humble or are you proud? And God can use someone who is successful, who is humble, but God has a mighty hard time using someone who is successful and who's arrogant. And God really has a problem with arrogance. It's hard not to be arrogant when you're good at what you do. It's hard not to be arrogant when you're a musician and you never play an out-of-tune note and you're good and someone else gets up there and plays and screws up. You're like, oh boy. You know, we have to guard our attitudes. There's another problem that we have here, and I know you've heard it from up here, I've heard it from up here, and that is sexual obsessions that we have. Again, like dishonesty, I would plead with you, find someone else, and this is a little harder, find someone else who has a like obsession, and don't get involved, okay, whatever you do. But find someone who has a similar problem. Open your heart up to that person. Pray together. Support each other. Lift each other up. Have an accountability partner. And that sounds awfully hard. But for those who have an addiction, that is one of the only ways of getting out of that cycle. And again, the problem is not the sexual problem. The problem is something deeper. And you may need to go to counseling and work out some, you know, extra deep things with God and with someone who's able to handle the situation. But in the meantime, work with each other and lift each other up. We are so quick to condemn, so quick to say, oh, you're a sinner, what are you doing here? You guys, we've got to lift each other up and pray with each other and admit our sins and our faults. Don't be afraid to find each other and to pray together and to have accountability. My holy name I will make known in the midst of Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. We don't want to profane the name of God. It's so easy to do. You get road rage? It comes really naturally to me. And it's not so bad here because drivers here, we don't have a lot of traffic, but I used to commute to Berkeley an hour and a half. Big problem with road rage. Out there, people shoot each other. Well, if I carried a gun, I'd probably have had a, you know. This is a problem in our parking lot out here. I have come in to park because I'm going to teach. And a student will whip around me and take the spot that I was about to drive into. The next time, okay, this happened one day, all right? I was on my way to class, and I was not late. So one of my students took one spot. I went to get into the next open spot, and her husband whipped around and took the spot. Ooh, I was mad. I was so mad. And I go marching into class, and I saw them walking down the hall, and they were like, oh, it was you. I'm like, well, does it matter who it was? Ooh, I was mad. It's really hard, okay? They were being greedy, I was being angry. We both had our issues that we had to deal with. But I'm telling you, if you have the sticker of Andrews University on the back of your car, drive like you know you belong here. And this brings me to another issue, something very interesting. David Brooks, who gave a plenary address in January, just a little bit ago, I'd like to thank John McVeigh for leading me to this guy. Really awesome speaker, very, very powerful. He says at the plenary address that we now, and I'm supposed to be quitting, aren't I? I'm just getting started. Okay. He says that we have a great deal of self-confidence. In 1950, if you were asked, if you were an important person, how many? 12% said yes. Now, 80% say yes. If Americans are asked where they rate, okay, they rate at 25 on the national scale. If an American is asked, where do Americans rate in mathematics? They would say, we're number one. They're deluded, okay? Delusions of grandeur. If you ask a South Korean who is, in fact, number one in the world, they will say, we're the worst. They need to get a grip, and we need to get a grip. I'm going to end with this, so I get to preach again, because this is only half of my presentation. We incorporate the group. When we come to a university, every single university, every single college has its own culture, its own attitude, its own, what shall I say? It's just got its own world. And I'm going to skip through all my wonderful stories and come to this. Every single one of us has someone, don't read it yet. Every one of us has someone in our past who has made a difference in our life here at Andrews. And when you're gone, you're going to remember this place in a certain way because of certain individuals. Are you going to be one of those individuals? I would pray that you would leave a positive influence here, that you would create a positive influence. Honestly speaking, this place's reputation needs a facelift. So please help us. Help yourselves. Help God to be who he really is in the face, in our faces. Don't cover up who God is. I'm going to read this last verse. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg of you, go with the Spirit of God in your heart. Fulfill his request. I will be honored. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so broken and we have so many issues. But that's why Jesus died for us. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us to come to the cross supporting each other, praying with each other, encouraging each other, that our feet may be lifted up to higher ground. Oh, my Lord, please help us to represent you as you want to be seen in the world. And may your holy name not be defiled in this place. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.